Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.
We are coming to that part of our conference where each day we are committed to having sessions that attempt to showcase people who in media and marketplace, in every area of life, point to the reign of God with what they do and with what they say. Yesterday, we enjoyed the wonderful expression of music with White With One. And today, we have the joy of listening to Cameron Simmons, who is a full-time performance poet and poetry educator. Cameron has published 15 books, including The Zoo in You and Love is a New Black, which were both shortlisted for Australian Christian Book of the Year. Cameron tours Australia performing and running poetry workshops, and he's also played a strong part in the design of the book that we were introduced to yesterday, Transformational Education. Can you please join me in welcoming Cameron Simmons to our conference?
When someone says it's a long story, it's probably not that long. It's quite likely they've just never had the chance to fully tell it out, spell it out, follow its twists and turns all the way to the sea. When someone says, no words can describe, they might be surprised how much can be conjured, ballparked, called upon, and thrown into relief with words. Tell them, hey, just start talking. I'm listening. And their long story might finally slowly drain into the great ocean of history. And the indescribable, that weighty blackness, might just be glimpsed, outlined, and lightened. Thank you. So for me, one of my passions is, I've been totally loving doing poetry workshops over the last few years, and I do it with students as well as adults. And one of the most surprising things is people come along to do a workshop and they go, I'm going to write 10 poems today and, you know, going to learn how to do this and learn poetic devices. But often the most powerful thing is that they actually have a space or a chance to actually just tell the stories that they have inside them. Sometimes it's opinions, it's stories, it's reflection, and that's incredibly powerful. And so particularly for students, I mean, interestingly, you know, people see me as a poet and, you know, poetry is my thing, and but yet I was one of those really slow students, bottom reading group, and I didn't pass English in year 11, mostly because I actually got overwhelmed by too many words. And so I was no good at it. It's like, way too many. I can't deal with all that. Only when I sort of found poetry, I could go, okay, here's a few words. I can focus on this. I can do this. And so there's something really surprising about poetry that often sometimes for those students that really struggle with a lot of words, poetry can be a way into literacy and fluency and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, for me, that's what I love seeing happen with certain students. So look, some of you have seen me before, and I want to do a couple of poems. Maybe you've heard them before, but you know, they're classics, so you'll enjoy it. But I'm often taking little familiar things and just having a look at them from different angles. I see that's one of my jobs as a poet, taking the familiar things and having a look at new angles, fresh perspectives. So that's what I've done with this piece. It's called ponderings and cogitations on loving thy neighbor with bonus real estate advice. So, yeah, I like my poems to be thoughtful and a bit practical too. So, if I hate myself, underrate myself, undercut myself, and headbutt myself, should I still love my neighbor as myself? Narcissists love themselves too much. Can I love my neighbor too much? Restraining order says yes. Love your neighbor as your selfie. Like. There's an old African proverb that I made up that says, hate takes offense, indifference sits on the fence, love jumps the fence. Now, in relation to neighbours, this is generally good advice, except if they own a Rottweiler. Father Christmas says, love your neighbour as your elf. Modern economists say love your neighbor as your self-interest dictates, but Jesus originally said love your neighbor as yourself. So what if I ignore my own needs? Can I ignore the needs of others too? I mean, what if I annoy myself? Can I annoy my neighbors? I mean, what if my neighbor was Darth Vader and very resistant to love? Should I use some kind of force? Yeah. Like, not every neighbor is lovable, but love them anyway. And not every love is suitable for your neighbor. They may not like holding hands or snuggling at 3 a.m. with their neighbour. But if you find the right love for the right neighbour, then everyone will want to be your neighbour. And that's a great time to invest in real estate. but don't forget, not every neighbour is lovable, but I say, love them anyway. Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing a bit of a love theme because love and poetry always seem to go together. And also, I was listening to Jeff speak before and about these grand themes of the Bible. And for me, what is most resonant, maybe it's because I'm an artist as well, is this theme of love and this incredible generosity that actually, you know, just undergirds the entire Bible and the entire framework. So for me, it does come back to love often. So, but you know, I'm not going to do a, you know, it's not love poetry, but it's often poems about love I do like to do. So this one's based on a verse in Colossians, the one about clothing yourself in kindness and gentleness and love. But you know, it says, above all, wear love. And it's a lovely verse. I had it as a reading at my wedding. But I thought, wait a sec. It's a nice little verse, but, you know, as a poet, I suddenly see, wait a sec, that's a nice little metaphor there too. Maybe I could work on that metaphor, expand that metaphor and extrapolate that metaphor. Maybe I could write an entire poem about it. So I did. So this piece is called Love is the New Black. Above all, wear love. It's more durable than denim. More cozy than track pants, more appealing than tuxedos, and more revealing than Speedos. It's more protective than a suit of armor, and more classy than a suit of Armani. Wear love. It's brandless and it's priceless. Fits all sizes, suits all classes, flatters any figure, matches any moment. Wear love, the couture of all virtues, the high fashion of the highly faithful, more beautifying than Cartier, more fragrant than Chanel, and more the thing than any bling. Wear love. It's more fundamental than footwear and more clarifying than eyewear. Don't wear jealousy and envy. They're out of fashion, man. And don't wear legalism and judgment. That is so Last Testament. And don't wear vengeance and fear, because that was hung out to dry in 33 AD. Wear love. And wear it tight. Wear it every day and every night. Wear it. Share it. It's more becoming than the latest hairdo and more bedazzling than a sequin tutu. Wear love like Inuits wear gloves every day. Like the Peace Corps wear logos of doves every day. What more can I say than wear love? I promise you it'll look good on you. It always does. Thank you. I'm just going to do one more piece for you, and you know, because I think sometimes the Christian worldview comes into conflict with maybe the scientific worldview or the rationalist worldview, and it can be really hard to bring them together. But then sometimes there's incredible surprise, a surprising synthesis that can happen between those, and I suppose. There's something that I really like to find those points of synthesis. And that's where this poem emerged out of. So it's based on two truths. One's a scientific truth and one's a biblical truth. So the scientific truth is that the human body is made up of between 50 and 60% water, mostly depending on gender. Women tend to carry more water. And so that's the scientific truth. The biblical truth is that Jesus described himself as the living water. So I thought, bring these things together. So I started imagining, what if Jesus was not 50% water, or even 60% water? What if Jesus was like 100% water? How would the gospel play out then? They tried to pin the water down with just three shafts of iron. They tried to contain the water, but their laws were full of leaks. They tried to muddy the water so that no one would ever want to drink. And then the water spoke. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Well, they heard nothing but a meaningless gargle. And then the water evaporated. Well, they smiled with cracked, dry lips for 3 days. Until somehow the water sprung forth with such force that angels came to watch. And even death was drowned out in this waterfall roar of living water flooding out into the garden, into the street, down the road, all the way into the future. All the way into this very moment. And here, now, it laps at your heart. Are you thirsty? Thank you.
Cameron, thanks. We really appreciate that again you've used the things that God has given you and is doing in you to really stir us. Thank you. We have an opportunity now to invite Ken Dickens to the stage, who's going to talk to us about a new resource that's been developed, and it's his pleasure to introduce that to us now. Thanks, Ken.
Really, I'm going to talk to you about something that you probably already know about, and I'm told by the ladies at the bookstore that they're just about all gone, and that is this wonderful new resource called Transformation by Design. And I want to acknowledge so many people who have been involved in the production of this wonderful resource, and it's been happening over a number of years. And it's been very organic because it's grown out of our schools and our teachers. But in the final stages, Martin Hanscamp and Jackie Stock and Alice Mustin and Tim White kind of pulled it together, and it's going to be a very, very significant publication to help us do the job that we are seeking to do in the classroom, and that is to really honour what the Bible says as we put together our programs and our curricula in a way that is authentic, not just tacky, but the way that we allow the Bible story to impact the way we do our programming. And this book helps us to do exactly that in very practical ways. There are a number of different models that you can follow and you can adapt to your own school context. And I just want to just commend it so highly. I'm very proud to be very slightly associated with it and to be associated with the movement that has brought this into being. Just yesterday I received an email from our colleagues in the Seventh-day Adventist schools saying, "We love it. Can we get more?" And that was a great encouragement. So if you haven't yet got one and the bookstore has run out, then they're geared up to take your orders. A wonderful book and something that we should really thank God for. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. You'll remember that yesterday we were encouraged to ask a couple of questions. And the first question that we needed to ask is, what is this for? What is this thing for that we see before us? And then we can ask the question, how can we use it? What can we do with it? Well, that first question, what is the purpose of this, is the very thing that we've been grappling with as we've been preparing this conference. What's the purpose of this conference? Well, we're hoping and praying that this conference will cause you, as Christians who are engaged in the field of education, to ask a number of questions. They might be questions like, how well equipped are we to teach young people to read God's world and God's word? How well are we equipped in our teacher training to read the patterns of the world that will be bombarding us and others? How well equipped are we at reading and knowing and unfolding God's story? Well, we're really blessed in Australia to have the National Institute for Christian Education, which has over 30 years worth of experience in teaching Christian educators to read word and world and to apply this literacy to educational practice. So we want you to think about another question. Maybe it's time to engage or re-engage as a professional Christian educator with the National Institute. And so why don't we spend a moment now seeing how the National Institute for Christian Education may be able to better equip you. Thank you.
You're one of the most important people in my life.
I spend a lot of time with you.
And I'm going to learn a lot from you.
I'll learn from what you say.
I'll learn from who you are.
And I'll be shaped by the story of God's world.
And God's love.
That you teach me.
You'll nurture me.
Help me.
Challenge me.
Love me.
You'll laugh with me.
And maybe cry with me too.
You're shaping.
shaping who I am. You're growing my mind
and my heart and helping me become the person God made me to be.
You're my leader.
You're my role model.
You're my friend.
You are my teacher.
I need you,
and I need you to be as prepared
and equipped as you can be.
Because you have a tough job,
and I don't make it any easier for you.
Sorry.
The National Institute for Christian Education
exists to help you
help me.
They want you to become a great teacher.
They want to equip you to tell God's true story.
They want to see you energized and inspired.
And those things are catching.
They're infectious.
You are infectious.
When you're inspired,
you inspire me.
The more equipped you are,
the better you'll be at equipping me.
At the National Institute for Christian Education.
All courses from a single day
to a master's degree
are taught by passionate, experienced,
dedicated specialists.
The Institute is fully accredited,
so the qualifications you'll get are recognised
just the same as any other university.
So enrol today
at the National Institute for Christian Education.
And as they help you,
you'll help me.
I don't know about you, but that just makes me so proud to be a teacher. A couple of things in regards to the National Institute. You may already know, but if you don't, it's really important that you know that by adding some critical reflection and some additional reading, you can actually use your engagement at this conference, this very conference, the 3 days you're spending here, to get credit toward the National Institute. And if you want to know more about that, we encourage you to go to your app and look in the What's Next section, and it gives you instructions about how to do that. So look for your app. A number of people are staying on Thursday and Friday of this week to learn and work and collaborate together down at Bayside Christian School as a taster towards a postgraduate unit with the Institute. And again, those details are in What's Next. I encourage you to have a look at that.
Welcome to an iTech 15 speaker presentation. This file has been brought to you by Christian Education National. Enjoy and connect to www.cen.edu.au for more information.